Hey there, and welcome to the Two Mom Life podcast, a show for moms like us, balancing it all and ready to live an inspired and full life. Everybody, welcome. I'm your host, Jody Fried, mom of four, Jewish community professional, and mother's empowerment coach. Motherhood is a journey, and on this podcast, inspired by Jewish thought, you will learn from other moms, receive practical advice, and loads of inspiration. Motherhood is messy and certainly not perfect. So here is to mom life, to finding your way, to finding perfect moments. Here is to you. Welcome back to the Two Mom Life podcast. Thanks for spending your time here with me and my guests. It's such an honor. In today's episode, I spoke with Gila Glassberg, who is a dietitian, and we talked about intuitive eating and helping our children, helping to set them up for success in terms of having healthy associations with food and healthy associations with their bodies and body image. It was an incredible conversation, and Gila actually also helped me. She directly coached me on the call. I highly recommend listening to this episode. It was great to sit down with her, and I think you'll get a lot out of it too. Again, thanks for spending your time with us here on the Two Mom Life podcast. Please share this episode with your friend. You know, it's amazing to me how much each of us relies on each other, right, in the world. And whenever you hear something or see something, read something that really speaks to you, there are a million other people who also need to hear that or need to see that. And so when you take the time to forward that on, forward the link to a friend in a text or in a Facebook message or Instagram message, or when you tag somebody in a post, it really is a huge service to them because they need to hear it too. So in that light, just if this really resonates with you, share it with your friends. Tag us on Instagram, tag us on Facebook, message it to your friends. And I also love to hear your feedback always. So thanks for tuning in and enjoy the episode. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Two Mom Life podcast. I am so excited to be here today with Gila Glassberg. And Gila, firstly, I love your name because my daughter shares it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, but thank you for being here. Can you just tell our audience a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So I'm Gila Glassberg. I'm a registered dietitian, and I'm also a certified intuitive eating counselor. And really, I help women heal their relationship with food, have a healthy relationship with food. And I definitely help mothers also how to feed their kids, how to have a healthy relationship with food in the home, how to have a healthy relationship with your body. So yeah, that's really what I do. And I love it. And I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to bring you on because I think that food, firstly, as Jewish women and Jews, food is so much a piece of who we are. You know, all of our holidays are focused around big meals or no meals, and just being in society in general right now, people have complicated relationships with food. And I think as moms, our own relationships with food trickle down to our children. And something that I think about a lot is how can I foster this attitude in my home toward food being something that we look to and eat for nourishment and both physically and spiritually? And, you know, how do I get my children to not associate food with all those negative aspects that we tend to and to not have a complex relationship with food? And I don't think it's an easy thing. So I'd love to just start the conversation there. And maybe you can just talk to a little bit, what does intuitive eating mean, you know, and how can that help us develop healthy relationship with food and what we eat?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so first I wanted to address what you said about the way that moms feel about food or moms feel about their body trickle down to the children. That is number one, like literally number one, the way that we eat, the way that we speak about our body, the way that we, you know, moms look in the mirror and they say, oh, I hate my thighs. The kids will say that. about themselves. The mom says, no, I can't have any chocolate cake. The kids will start to pick up. Why is mom not eating chocolate cake? Why is she serving us fish sticks? And she's eating salmon and grilled vegetables, even if they don't say it. And even if they do realize, because kids learn best by modeling. The first thing that we could do is work on the mom's relationship to food before we work on the child's relationship to food. So intuitive eating is it's really a book called Intuitive Eating. It's really also like a nutrition methodology that sort of bridges the gap between nutrition and psychology. And it was written by two registered dietitians who were working in the field of private practice for a long time doing traditional nutrition counseling. And even though they say like they were putting them on sensible meal plans and not diets, it really was a diet. They were putting people on diets and the clients would lose the weight, but they would inevitably return 1 month later or 1 year later or 10 years later, having gained back the weight and then more weight. And now with an added sense of guilt, shame, body hatred, which sounds so harsh, but it's like so true. I hear it every day. Body shame, guilt, feeling out of control around food, binging, right? Like you could think about when you were like 3 or 4, at least that's like, for me, I could think about like when I didn't think about what I ate, but like in a good way, like I ate when it was mealtime and I moved on versus like, and you started that complex relationship where you were like, should I have another cookie? Okay, fine. I'll just skip lunch. You know, like it could happen so early because we're surrounded by what we call diet culture. So what they really found when they looked to the research is that dieting, they weren't able to find any research that found that dieting led to long-term weight loss. Meaning if somebody lost weight on a diet, they kept it off within 5 years. And they also found that like dieting actually primes people to gain weight, because when you do deprive yourself of calories, you slow down your metabolism. And then what often ends up happening is binging or feeling out of control around the restricted food. So you have a slowed metabolism and binging, of course, it's going to lead to weight gain. And then there's so much research that shows that like, it's really like obesity or overweight. I'm saying quotes because I don't know if you know anything about like the health at every size, body positivity movement. Like those are very stigmatizing words. Like what's overweight? What's you know, like who decided that? Like the BMI, I'm sorry, I'm going on and on, but the BMI, if you're considered overweight, if you're 25 or above, it used to be 27. And then one day somebody they decided to change it because it was too hard to remember. So they made it 25. So originally the BMI was created for insurance companies to like give people different insurance plans based on that category of weight and height, right? It's just not measuring so many things in terms of like what's going on in your body, just your weight and height. You're not accounting for anything else. So whoever created the BMI, I don't remember who that is off the top of my head, but I could let you know. So yeah, like what I teach moms and what I teach clients is that like our body is an amazing thing. And yes, our body needs food and it needs nutritious food. But the most unhealthy thing is like to teach your kid that like food is good or food is bad, or like food is going to kill you, or food, you should be afraid of food, right? Like, cause we serve that to our kids. Like, oh, that's garbage. Or you're eating that junk again. Like junk means like it belongs in the garbage, but yet we're giving it to them. There's so many confusing messages about food and the media doesn't help, you know, like everything in the media about food is like, this food's going to heal you, or this food's going to kill you. So like one of the main goals is really to like neutralize food. Yes, I want it to be positive, but like first and foremost, neutral, that just like you don't feel guilty when you go to the bathroom, you don't feel guilty when you breathe, those things that you need to do in order to live, there really shouldn't be any guilt associated with eating.
So, okay. So I have a question for you, and I'm just going to use myself as an example. My guess is that I'm not the only one. So my kids sometimes come up to me and we use the term junk in our house, like for sugary candy is junk. And my kids love it, of course. And sometimes they'll come up to me and they'll say, mommy, can I have junk? And I'll say no. And then another time I'll say yes. And sometimes I just give it to them on a whim. But every time I say that and every time I let them have that junk, I actually do feel bad about it. And sometimes I even like think about it a little bit deeper and I think to myself, how is it that I'm letting my kids have this? Like when knowing, I know it's not good for them and I know it can only harm. Like there's no good really that can come from it, you know, for my kids. So like, just to use me as an example, like what would you what would you advise a mother who, you know, is doing that? Like, I know it's harmful and I have a negative association with it. My kids are calling this food junk.
Right. Why do you have do you mind if I ask, why do you have a negative association with it?
Because it causes cavities. It has zero nutritional value in the long run. Like, it makes blood sugar soar. You know, it can cause like these swings behaviorally. And so I think just from my own experience, like experiencing getting cavities and like that type of thing, I have a negative association. And also because of the research and these things that I've been told and learned over the years about these types of foods, that's a negative association.
Right. And in terms of like letting your kids eat it, why do you let them eat it if you feel like it's so bad?
Sorry
that I'm trying to coach you right now. So if you want me to
If you don't mind, I think this is great. So I let them have it because I guess it's instant gratification is part of it. Like, it's something that I know can distract them sometimes pretty quickly and easily. It makes them happy. So like if they're sad or having a hard time, it also makes for an easy reward.
Interesting. So I'm going to tell you something interesting about like sugary foods, right? So we are actually primed when we're babies to associate sugary foods with emotions. Because when a baby's born, a baby eats from either has formula or breast milk, eats from his mother. And that milk has a lot of lactose. It's very high in sugar. And the baby is not just getting milk from his mother. He's getting comfort, warmth, security, you know, all the things that he needs in order to thrive, right? We know that a baby can't survive if he's not touched. Besides for being fed, a baby cannot survive without touch. There's so many things that are vital for survival, not just nutritionally, right? The way that intuitive eating works is holistic, meaning like we're not just looking at nutrition as the form as health. We're looking at the greater picture of health. So when exactly what you just said, you said that my child gets instant gratification, my child gets happiness, my child gets reward, but you're saying it has no nutritional value, right? So that's why I said we don't want to associate foods with good or bad, because every food can be good. You know, every food can, even if let's say, this is an extreme example, but let's say like I worked in nursing homes for 5 years. And a lot of times we gave our residents like Ensure, right? Ensure has a lot of chemicals. Ensure is highly processed. The residents wouldn't live without that Ensure, right? So Ensure it's not the same as candy, but we can't say that candy has no nutritional value. It does have nutritional value. Actually, processed sugar, let's say one of my colleagues gave this example, like let's say like a small can of Coke, you know, it's like 5 p.m. and you need like that pick me up and you don't want to have a cup of coffee and you want something like a little sweet. Like, does it have zero nutritional value? Would I tell you to drink Coke every single day or multiple times a day? I'm not sure. It depends on the person, you know, like it depends, but like nothing, we're not looking for any extremes. We are looking for overall health. But like I said before, like the most unhealthy thing we could do is to like stigmatize a food or like, it's just so confusing for a kid. This is junk, but I'm giving it to you, right? So, but I just never recommend not giving your kids what we call play food, because if they don't have it and their friends have it and they're going to go to a kiddish and the kids that are deprived are the ones who are like hoarding the food. So I don't think that anyone would want to eat candy all day, every single day, except for the person who feels deprived of it. So like for those clients who are like, yeah, if I was allowed to eat candy all day, I would eat it for breakfast. I would eat it for lunch. I would eat it for dinner. And when we do one of the principles of intuitive eating, which is called making peace with food, I say, go ahead, do it. You're not going to want to continue doing that, because your body naturally, most people's bodies will crave protein and carbs and fiber and fruits and vegetables, but things get in the way of that, like diet culture, like a diet telling you that bread's horrible for you or bananas are horrible for you. So then you're binging on bananas, you know?
So for me, let's say, like, would you recommend that I change the term, that I stop using the word junk and like switch that with my children? Or
yeah. So first of all, I just want to say that there's a difference between the feeding model for adults and the feeding model for kids. So the feeding model for adults is intuitive eating, and that consists of 10 principles, which I could go over if you want, but it's a little tedious. I always just say like, Google the principles. It's very lengthy. But the model for kids is called the division of responsibility. And the basic premise of that feeding model, which was developed by Ellen Satter, who's a dietitian and a social worker, and she developed this like 30 years ago, but her work is still pretty famous. And a lot of most people who do intuitive eating also teach the division of responsibility. So the basic model of that is that the parent decides the what, the where, and the when of eating. So what the child will be served, when, and where the child will eat. The child decides how much and if any. So let's say you serve your child at 12 o'clock lunch, you give them salmon and you give them noodles and you give them broccoli and a cookie, right? So you serve that on a plate. So you say, this is mealtime. You sit the child down. This is all we're having for lunch. If you're hungry, come eat. But the child could eat only the cookie. The child could eat whatever, but you just give them what you serve them. So that sounds very basic, but you still, there are definitely caveats. There always has to be a safe food on the table that you know your child likes and will eat. You have to feed your kids consistently depends on the kid, but every 1.5 to 2 hours. So they know that the food, once they're done, they will have another feeding opportunity. Why this feeding model is so amazing, number one, and so effective, is because we want to instill in our children autonomy over their eating and over their body. And eating is one of those things that is really very autonomous, right? So when you are feeding a baby and the baby's moving his head and you're forcing him to eat it, he feels, his autonomy really does feel threatened. And so does a 4-year-old, you know? So he will, and you have to think about it from your perspective. If somebody's literally force feeding you salmon, I don't know why I keep saying salmon, but you're going to have such a negative association. So with eating and feeding our kids, we want to see the bigger picture. So I know a lot of moms don't want their kids to have candy, right? I know a lot of moms, first of all, it's always a good thing to ask why do I not like it? And why am I giving it to them? Right? That's sort of the coaching stuff, the counseling stuff, besides the counseling stuff, okay, if I don't want them to do it, why am I doing it? Right? There's obviously some positive reason. And, you just want to look at the bigger picture. So I don't want my kids to eat candy for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but I do want to have it available to them in the house. I don't just want it to be for reward, because then, as an adult, that's really hard to separate. You're always going to be rewarding yourself with food, and it's okay to do that sometimes, but you want to have other ways to reward yourself, you know?
Yeah, that's so helpful. I love the division of responsibility, and something that I've heard before, and we recently started implementing something very similar. And it could be that it was, but something very similar. And it's made a big difference in our house, with just kind of every child knowing that there's something that I like at every meal. And so fostering this good relationship. So the division of responsibility is one way to help foster a positive relationship, a positive association with food. Also, it sounds like making sure that your kids know that they're going to have opportunities to be fed. They don't have to pinch and scrape and wait for too long before the next mealtime. What else can we do?
So there's so many things that we could do, but I really want people to know that besides for intuitive eating, that we do focus on eating, but also in terms of body image, it's very important to know that, bodies come in all shapes and sizes, right? We know we don't feel guilty about our shoe size, let's say, but there's a lot of negative talk about body image and about I don't want to just say weight. I mean, there's a big emphasis on praising people for the way that they look. And I'm not saying that's not important. It's very important, but just I've recently been hearing this a lot in the intuitive eating world. And of course, take it with a grain of salt, do what works for you. But when you haven't seen a friend in a long time, is the first thing you do make a comment on how they look, or it's so good to see you. Something like that. I've missed you. It's so good to see you, versus wow, you look amazing. Did you lose weight? You know, and I'm not going to say there's something wrong with commenting on the way that somebody looks, because that's more the extreme intuitive eating, that I don't think of myself as extreme. I think I really try to be in the middle, because I think that when a lot of people learn about intuitive eating, they go to an opposite extreme where you can't ever comment on someone's weight, and you really should never, whatever. I don't know if you're familiar with the eating disorder, I mean, with the intuitive eating versus dieting world, but there's a lot of extremes basically. people are always asking me questions like, what do you think about this? Or like, is this too extreme? And of course, every person's so different. Like I always say, every client's so different, every case is so different. So there's a lot of nuance. And I think that like even myself, when I first heard about intuitive eating, I was like, oh my gosh, dieting, it's horrible. Anyone who diets, blah, blah, blah. But like, I understand why people want to diet. Like I always tell that to clients also, like, I understand why you want to lose weight. I understand why it's so hard. We live in a world that is obsessed with the thin, there's like this thin ideal that like, if you're not skinny, you're not anything. You're not smart. You're not pretty. If you're fat, you're lazy, right? Like there's like a lot of fat phobia. Like I was also brought up like that. We have judgments about people who are in larger bodies. Like, oh, they probably never move or they probably eat all day. And like bodies really do come in all different shapes and sizes. And so much of our weight has to do with genetics. It has to do with our age. It has to do with how many children we have. It has to do with sometimes some of it is our eating and our movement, but not all of it. So like, we just feel so entitled to judge people because of their body size. And I really want, you know, moms and everyone, I really want people to reconsider that. Think about it. Think about how much you're emphasizing the way that you look, the way that you want your child to look versus like who they are as a person, fostering, you know, their character traits, their good, their midos, like working on your parenting skills, you know, like what, again, ask yourself, why do I care if my child gained weight? You know, like, of course we want to focus on healthy behaviors. We do. We want to give them the tools to feed their body well and move their bodies, but we also don't want to obsess over the way that they look.
Yes, that is so key. I'm so glad that you brought this up and in the context of intuitive eating as well. And it just, you know, brought to light something that you said earlier is that we were talking about was the way that we feel and the way that our relationship with food and our bodies really does trickle down to our kids. And it just made me think, yeah, what happens when our children see us commenting to other people, to our friends or to them all the time about weight and how you look and, you know, whether it's, even if it's the good things, you know, I think it's such a great point that we should try and balance that out with comments about character traits and other things like I missed, you know.
And I want to tell a story because recently I had this that somebody was asking me like just some like friendly advice, like not a client, but just like a friend. And she said, if like my child's overweight, again, I'm putting it in quotes, in a larger body, how do I prevent him from being bullied because of it? Right. I hear that question a lot. It's a really good question, right? It's a great question. But let's just like break it down because it's like, again, like zoom the lens out. Children will make fun of anything that's different and that's normal. Like let's normalize that. But a child gets his sense of self from his parent and he gets his sense of love and belonging in the world from feeling unconditionally loved from his parents. So if somebody makes fun of him for his weight, it will hurt, but it won't like penetrate into like his soul if he feels a sense of love and confidence from his parents. When I told this to the mom, she said, you're right. My child actually has never been bullied because of his weight, because we do that in the house. So, you know, like I'm almost like emotional about it because it's like, it's so sad that we like project this negative image onto a child who's in a larger body that didn't choose that. And for sure, it's hard to live like that in a world that's thin obsessed. And I think it's really getting better because of the intuitive eating pushback. But it's just with anything, like I've heard other moms talk about, like if their child has something different, like I alopecia, I heard somebody talking about that, like her child doesn't have any hair. And she's like, if other kids stare and point, I say, come, like ask questions. Like kids are naturally curious. And yes, when they're making fun, they feel maybe like a little uncomfortable by the difference. But like we as moms have to empower our kids to be like, you know what? People look different. They come in different colors. They come in different shapes and different sizes and different hair colors and no hair and some hair, right? And like, what do we do when we like shy away from that? Like we don't, of course our kids are uncomfortable. They never were taught how to feel about that. And we have to give them that sense of like love and belonging and sense of self, whether they're in a small body or a large body or any body, right?
Yes, 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 yes. This is so crucial, so important. And I just think that you've highlighted, I'm going to play this over and over in my own, you know, when I listen back, but I think that you've just really highlighted something so critical where
that love and sense of belonging. It comes from the home. And the more that we can strengthen that, the better we set our children up for being able to feel good about themselves. It's not about standing up to bullies. It's about feeling strong and feeling whole within themselves. And the fact that we as parents have the power to really foster that it's amazing. And it's a huge responsibility. It's even a little bit scary. What if you mess up? But I think that's great. Before we close up, can you just give us a few of the, some highlights of those maybe conversation starters or things to talk about with our children to help them develop that sense of strength within themselves?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I think that these things will come up a lot, because let's say I already see it with my children who are pretty young, 8 and 5, he's fat, oh, I'm so fat, making fun of people being fat. And don't be oh, that's not nice, right? What did you just tell your kid? That's not a nice comment, right? Being fat is bad. So I want there to be normalizing of kid behavior. I think that's so important. I don't know about you, but I feel like my generation, it was if you act like a kid, there was some lack of understanding that kids act differently. And then you feel very odd, as a kid, you shouldn't be acting like that. Normalizing kid behavior, right? And kind of reading between the lines when kids make fun of other kids or see things and almost I'm not saying I always do this, of course, but I'm saying when you can, and it's an ideal situation and it works and you have the time and you're not in the middle of nursing one kid and bathing the other kid, you could say to your kid, oh, that's so interesting. Where did you hear that? Or why are you making fun of him? Or what's wrong with being fat? Cause you know what? I kept asking you why, a lot of times we do things and we have no idea why. A lot of times we feel something and we have no idea why. And I guess you have to work on this relationship with food and your body in order to do this with your children. But even if you haven't, kids are so smart and intuitive and they teach us so much about ourselves. Sorry to go on a tangent, but I heard this once in a teen parenting class that a mother asked a question, what should I do if my teenagers are on my case about my tinnitus, a question like that, modesty. And so the person who was giving the course said, well, how do you feel about your tinnitus? And she said, she gave such a reframe about kids. She said, teenagers get us to question our own Yiddishkeit, right? So you just said that, and that used to be my biggest fear. There's such a big responsibility. How do I know I'm not going to mess up? We don't know that we're not going to mess up. And we do the best that we can. But if we could reframe that, kids teach us about ourselves, kids teach us about the world. Why, let's say a kid's making fun of somebody for being fat, it gets us to question, how do I feel about fat people? How do I feel? Why do I feel like that? Where did that come from? What was my belief system as a kid? And I always say this to clients, as kids, we don't pick our belief system, but as adults, we get to choose. So one of parts of adulthood is sort of dumping out the contents of our belief systems that we've picked up along the way and saying, hey, do I still want this? And it doesn't just go away if we say we don't. It's still part of us, but we do get to highlight that's, I don't want that to be a part of me. So I have to work on that. And if your kid is the one that pointed it out to you because he was making fun of someone for being in a larger body, that's beautiful. Reframe it. Now it's time for you to explore your relationship with how you feel about people in larger bodies, right?
Mm. Yeah, and you get to explore it with your children and kind of come at it from that perspective of curiosity, which is incredibly empowering once you really can get into that state and just be curious about the whys. And that can be an amazing opening to strengthen one's connection and relationship with not only with yourself, but also with your children. So yeah, I absolutely, absolutely have loved this conversation. Thank you for indulging me and for going the coaching.
Sure.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you want to say before we, that you want to leave our listeners with or, really want to make sure that you get a message across?
I think I said a lot of things that have been I haven't been able to say in a while because I had to take a few weeks off from my full schedule because of the kids being off from you know, camp and then school, whatever. So like, I think that like these conversations always fuel me to like keep going. Cause if you enter the intuitive eating world, and this is what I hear from clients all the time, like it's a little isolating because I don't know about you, but everyone around me is always talking about their diet and how much weight they lost and how they're nervous about Yantip and what are they going to eat and what are they going to bring. And I like to think about it from the perspective of zooming out in your life and realizing that we only have a certain amount of headspace. And if we're filling it 75% up with what am I eating? How skinny am I? You're really losing out on a lot of what life has to offer.
Keeping it in perspective. That's beautiful. And this is such a stressful time of year, typically for Jewish women everywhere and Jewish families. Why bring yourself down with all of those thoughts when there's so much else to be, you know, joyful about and light us up. So thank you. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining
us. Sure.
How can our listeners learn more about you and get in touch with you?
Okay, so I'm on Instagram. Right now, my handle is gila.glassberg.intuitiveRD. I also have a podcast, actually. It's called Get Into It with Gila. So you can listen to that wherever you listen to your podcast. A lot of them are on YouTube and on IGTV. And if you go to my website, www.gilaglassberg.com, I have a lot of information there. I have blogs. I have, you know, Instagram posts. I have different episodes, YouTube videos, and you could actually apply there for a free 20-minute consultation if you want to work with me. So reach out.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And guys, we will post all those beautiful links in the show notes so that you can get in touch with Gila however best suits you. And again, Gila, thank you for joining me. And everyone, thank you for tuning in. As you know, I really so appreciate that you choose to spend your time here with us on the Two Mom Life podcast. Definitely don't take that lightly and want to make it worth your while. So thank you. Thank you. Feel free to share this episode on Instagram, social media, and forward to a friend. And until next time, goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Two Mom Life podcast. If you liked what you heard today, please remember to rate us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you would like to learn more about me and my work helping moms feel filled up and in balance, or helping moms integrate family adventures, big and small, into mom life, or to explore how we can work together, visit my website, loveadventuremom.com, or find me on Facebook and Instagram at the handle loveadventuremom. Till next time, l'chaim, to life.